There's a range of anticoagulant medication, and within the context of today, we're really talking about anticoagulant medication use for patients that have atrial fibrillation, which is also known as AF, and it's used a lot of the time to prevent stroke in patients that have AF.
So what sort of medications are available to people with AF?
So there's different pharmacological and non-pharmacological treatments for AF. Pharmacological treatments, we'd really be looking at oral anticoagulation. And the main drug that's been used for decades has really been warfarin in particular. And only we've seen in the last sort of 5 years really developed as novel agents or novel oral anticoagulants, which are also referred to as NOACs. And so they're called apixaban, rivaroxaban, and dabigatran. Really, warfarin's been around for a very long time, and it's a complex drug. It needs a lot of routine monitoring. Patients have to have bloods taken quite regularly, and there's a lot of interactions with other medications and lifestyle habits that patients need to be aware of as well.
You've recently been looking at how much nurses know about this medication. Were you looking at warfarin in particular or the novel medications or both?
So we asked them about both of the medications, so all four of them really, and also about antiplatelets, so aspirin too. We're really keen just to kind of get a broad understanding really of nurses' knowledge and practice within Australia and New Zealand around about what's the current state of practice, what are nurses doing with these agents, what are their role in caring for patients that are on these medications. And
so you're really hoping that they're giving the right information.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. And I think they're very highly skilled practitioners in providing already education and counselling on a lot of different areas, whether or not that's lifestyle or other medications as well. And they have that opportunistic, say like a couple of minutes with a patient to talk about, you know, some of their medications that they might be on. So we're hoping that they would be quite up to date with some of the knowledge and have quite good practice in that area.
But your research found the opposite.
Yeah, so unfortunately, and this was quite an eye-opener for us, because we found that they weren't as educated and as up on some of the treatments as we would have hoped. So the survey really found sort of suboptimal levels of knowledge in terms of some of the newer agents, but also warfarin in particular. And we looked at warfarin, and a lot of the survey that we conducted was around about warfarin, because warfarin continues to be the medication that most patients are on. It's the most commonly used drug for stroke prevention and AF in the Australian setting.
Well, you did mention earlier that warfarin is a complex drug. What makes it so complex? What are the risks of using it?
Yeah, it's a complex drug just in terms of the way that it works. And I'm going to, just in simplified terms here, use the word blood thinning, because that's a lot of the general public would understand. And when we think about AF, the heart would be in a regular rhythm. And without the warfarin, a clot might form, because you have that irregular heartbeat, there's opportunity for blood to clot in the atrium of the heart and then travel up through the neck vessels and lodge in the brain. So the very fact that it thins patients' blood puts them at higher risk of bleeding, and that could range from simple things like nosebleeds that they might have, or when they're brushing their teeth they might have bleeding gums, or it might be just a little bit of bruising. But on the very high end of the spectrum, you could also have a patient that falls over, knocks their head, and then they have a different type of stroke, which would be a bleed. So it's really a fine balance between looking at the risks and benefits of the different treatments.
Warfarin also interacts with food, and obviously with pregnant women it changes things. How did nurses rate on their knowledge level of things like this?
Yeah, so we conducted this survey during a conference, which is quite a strange method to conduct a survey. But this was in 2014 at a cardiovascular nursing conference within Australia. And we had about 55 responses to the survey, and most of the respondents were quite experienced cardiovascular nurses in particular. And most had worked in cardiovascular nursing for over 10 years. And there was about a third which were nurse consultants or nurse practitioners. So you would think that they might be a bit more knowledgeable about warfarin in particular, because it's been around for quite a while, and some of the key medication interactions and lifestyle interactions as well. Some of the knowledge and practice of nurses reported through the survey were quite worrisome. In particular, things around medication to medication interactions and diet to medication interactions, and providing education and counselling were generally quite poor on a lot of different factors. That was quite worrying to me as a researcher to look at and think, wow, we really need to do something about this, and we really need to help improve these nurses' knowledge.
Is it the place of the nurses to know this, or is it the pharmacists who are dispensing the medication? Is it their job to tell patients?
Yeah. So in a local context within New South Wales setting, a lot of the time when patients are commenced on this medication, they're provided with a booklet of information and sat with a pharmacist to provide them with some sort of baseline knowledge around about the medication in particular. And so perhaps, and I'm kind of hypothesising here around, perhaps nurses have taken a back seat in providing that education and counselling, and thought this was really more the role and responsibilities of the pharmacist in particular. But nurses are really well placed throughout practice, whether or not that be in a GP surgery as a practice nurse, to another type of clinic, and throughout acute and chronic care. There's lots of points in time where a nurse would see a patient and would have these small opportunities to really reinforce some of the key messages around about being on that medication and living with the heart condition. One of the things I've not mentioned before is around about the duration of this medication, and so it really depends about point in time around about diagnosis in terms of when someone would be commenced on these medications. But more often than not, it's a lifetime duration. And just recently, I was speaking to this gentleman in the clinic, and he was telling me, I asked him how long he had been on warfarin for in particular, and he said 45 years, and I was blown away. I was like, how can a patient have been on a medication for 45 years? And
so in that case, a nurse would be good to refresh that patient's memory?
Definitely. And there's with the changes in evidence and science as well, there's always new information and contemporary information that patients need to be updated with and provided with. So if you think about 45-year span of time, there's lots of time where he would have had interactions with, say, primary healthcare nurses or nurses working in the acute care setting as well. Yeah.